14 of the 25th chapter, Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took he his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at thy coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant to the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, I certainly thank you today for your goodness and kindness. Once again, your word is wonderful. It's true. It's pure. And I thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to our people for a few moments tonight. And Father, thank you for the testimonies we've heard. All that's been accomplished, Lord, here tonight as we've sang and praised your name. We trust that up to this time, certainly everything's been pleasing to you. That's our desire. And now the preaching of the word, Lord, we want it to please you, Lord, and honor your name. And so I ask you to help this preacher. And Father, I trust that everyone here has come to be a blessing, not just to receive one. It would be certainly the desire of my heart to be a blessing. And Lord, I know I'll receive one. But Father, we need to always be ready to be a blessing to others. And I just simply pray that that'll take place in this service tonight. Your will be done as we preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to preach for a little while, and then we're probably going to go eat. And that all depends on how good an audience you are. You're doing well. Amen. Keep up the good work. If I hear a law in the services, you know, it may extend, you know, before we eat. But anyway, we're thankful you're here. I want to start off the message tonight by reading you just a couple, three little small articles out of a magazine. I've told you before, I take one called The World Magazine. It's supposed to be the world from a Christian perspective. That's what it's supposed to be. And it's got some good articles in it, some not so good, but I read them. And it's a helpful to me to learn some things that other places I would not have an opportunity to learn these things. But I just want to share with you. It says, end of all moral legislation. In June, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down an unconstitutional, the Texas law prohibiting sodomy in Lawrence versus Texas. Homosexuals John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner had challenged the law, which banned deviant sexual intercourse with another individual of the same sex. Austin officials defended the law on the grounds that it reflected the community standards of their state. But gay rights groups argued that the state could not criminalize actions by homosexual couples that were permitted for heterosexual couples. And the high court agreed. Justice Scalia so incensed that he read aloud his dissent from the bench, predicting the ruling would mark the end of all morals legislations and leave traditional marriage laws on pretty shaky ground. Another article, Justice Scalia was right. In November, traditional marriage laws in Massachusetts gave way as the state Supreme Court ruled that laws favoring heterosexual marriages are unconstitutional. The decision in Goodrich versus the Massachusetts Department of Health was a sweeping victory for homosexual activists who had sought liberal courts in which to advance the notion of gay marriage. The Massachusetts justices compared laws restricting gay marriage to those that once prohibited interracial marriage and rejected them as arbitrarily depriving homosexuals of membership in one of our community's most rewarding and cherished institutions. The ruling sparked immediate congressional actions, and there was some of the congressmen, and it raises their Republican congressman that put a bill forth that would amend the U.S. Constitution to restrict marriage to one man and one woman. That's always the way it's been. That's the way God looks at it, and so doesn't certainly, it's a shame we would have to put that on our books. It says, by all indication, 2003 marked the beginning of the end for the Episcopal Church as we've known it, and possibly for the entire 77 million member worldwide Anglican community. The 2.3 million members of the Episcopal Church is the U.S. providence of the communion that what the Episcopal Church did this year threw the entire communion into turmoil. By majority vote, it ignored the pleadings of its own Bible-oriented, conservative Episcopal leaders and even the Vatican, and approved the selection of an open homosexual as a bishop. You know some of these things, but I'm just kind of whetting your appetite here, trying to tell you what happened. It says, now a New Jersey appeals court ruled it's okay for prosecutors to keep openly religious people off jurors. Its reasoning, individuals who are demonstrous about their religion do not share the same values, tenets, or practices as most people, and thus do not represent a cross-section of society. So because of religion, they can keep you off of a jury. So it's what's come out in New Jersey there. What I want to do, I read to you a story about the talents. I just want to give you a few points concerning this story, and I want to challenge you tonight. This kind of thing is not just a little things that are happening in America. It's happening all over America. It's happening all over the world. We are in the time of the end. No, we are in the time of the end. I'm not getting some of your attention. I mean, it's getting serious. And for some reason, we just kind of continue on our way thinking everything is going to be all right. But it's not going to be all right. We're going to have to face all of these things that's coming, and it's getting serious across our land as well as the world. And so I'm just simply saying to you what I believe is this. I believe that we need to look back here and look at what Jesus said about servants. And I believe we need to become servants. I believe with all of my heart, we had better take a new look here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church at our service for the Lord. We're not saying that people are not serving, but let me say to you something. Real service comes from here. No, it comes from here. And real service will cause you to do things you wouldn't normally do because you have a heart for God. You have a heart that says, you know, we got to get the work done. No matter what happens, we've got to get it done. So what I want to do is I want to share some things with you tonight. And like I say, in this portion will not take us a lengthy time, but I want you to listen very closely. First of all, this is a wonderful parable. We see a rich man coming, and he's getting ready to go on a long journey. There's no doubt whatsoever this is a picture of Jesus Christ when he went off to be off to go to heaven, and he was going to come again and reckon with his servants. There's no doubt in my mind that this is the principle that's being taught here. I might say also, I know in through this parable, he does mention money. He talks about that. I do not think that that's the end of all of it. I don't think he's just talking about money. I don't think he's just talking about goods and the things, the material things that men can have. He's talking much deeper than that. Now, them things are all included. There's no doubt about that. But it goes much deeper than that. What do we do with that which God has given us? What do we do with the talents that God has given us? It's interesting because he gave five talents to one, he gave two talents to another, and he gave one talent to the other. I believe to one degree what we're seeing here is the stewardship of the Christian life and the opportunities that God puts before each and every one of us. Sometimes we just cannot get some people to understand that. They believe that they come to sit on the premises and here they are and they don't have to do anything for God. They can go out and live contrary to the scriptures and they're not going to be held accountable for that. That's just not true. That's not true. Jesus is coming again and he's going to reckon with his servants. And I just want you to understand, I want you to get a burden. I want you to get a burden because here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, this is the church God has put me over. And this is the church that I'm concerned about. Now, do I care about other churches? Oh, certainly I do. Do I want to see folks saved in every church across America? I certainly do. But this is the church that I'm concerned about. This is the one that God has given me to lead. Amen? So do I care what happens? Yes, I do care. I care what happens, you see. And here's what he's done. As he says here, he delivered unto them, in verse 14, his goods. You know, Jesus, before he left, put in the hands of the affairs of this world, he put them in the hands of his children. We are the ones that is left to handle the affairs that Jesus left to be handled. I know we have the power of God. I know all those things. I know without him we can do nothing, but it has to go through our hands because that's the way he works it. And he has servants in whom he puts in special places. And when he returns, he will hold us accountable, each and every one accountable for that which he's given us. Amen? You may be a five-talent person. You may be a two-talent person. You may be a one-talent person. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We all have the same responsibility. No matter how many talents God has given us, no matter if you want to look at it from a money standpoint, if God has given you $1 million or if he give you $10, we still have the responsibility to handle it correctly. Now, we have that responsibility. Amen? Sure. So what I'm saying is we better get back to realizing we're in the end days and we better shape up on our talent handling. What God has given unto us, because when he returns, he's either going to commend us or condemn us for how we handle it. Now, it doesn't determine salvation. We know all that. But I'm talking about service for the Lord. And God has given us different abilities. Look what he says in verse 15. And into one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. And that simply means one's own ability. God has given each and every one of us different abilities. Folks, listen, I got over that a long time ago. I don't have all the abilities that some preachers do and some people have. I don't have that. It doesn't bother me anymore. I used to be, I wanted to be like this guy and that. I don't want to be like any of them. I just want to be me. I just want to do what God has given me to do. That's what I want to do. I don't mean I shouldn't do the very best I can do. I don't mean that I shouldn't increase my abilities. I don't believe that for 1 minute. But God has given certain abilities, certain talents to certain people. That's just the way he's done it. And we've got to understand that. He has assigned a very unique place. A unique place. Is everybody in the services? I want everybody in the services. I don't want anybody out of the services. I want them in here. If they can hear me, I want them in here. I want them right in here. Listen to the word of God. How can I preach to them when they're somewhere else? Let's check it out. All right. God has assigned us a very unique place in his kingdom. Folks, listen to me. We are given a very special place in the kingdom of God. Each one of us, and he has a position, a purpose for us being in that place. God has given you a talent, if you want to call it a talent, that's what he talks about here. God has given you a talent that you can use in that place that God has given you. Amen? Now, listen, folks, when you don't do that, when I don't do that, we're making a big mistake. And we're putting aside that which God has in his wonderful plan. I'm not talking about the world's plan. I'm not talking about building the world's kingdom. I get so sick and tired of that. People are out here wanting to give all their time to the building of the world's kingdom instead of God's kingdom. That's not what we're here for. We are here to build God's kingdom. And he builds that through the local church. Do I get amens out of that? He builds it through the local church. I get so sick and tired of this. Well, I had this to do. I had that to do. I had to go here. Baloney. What we need to do is remember the local church is the place that God has, Jesus is building. And he works through the local church. That's why it's so important. I'll tell you about a new ministry we're going to have here in a little while. Brother Casper came to me when he wanted to go over to the nursing home over. He said, oh, I want the sanction of the church on it. No, he said, I want to go through the church. I want the church to sanction this ministry, which we did. And that's the way it's supposed to be. He's right. Supposed to be sanctioned through the church, and it goes out from the church. Not just go out on your own somewhere and do something. No. Goes through the church. So what I'm saying to you, God has put us here. Verse 13, he said this, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. First of all, he's given us the responsibility to watch. Now we're to be attentive to what's going on. You know, things like that. You know, that's going on by the hundreds. It's going on all over this nation. And we need to be attentive. We need to keep our spiritual eyes open. I said our spiritual eyes open, not our worldly eyes. We usually keep them open. Our spiritual eyes, we need to keep them open. And then he says in verse 21, he says, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The other thing he's told us, he told us also in verse 23 the same thing. I want you to watch and I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful. You just keep going on for God. You don't quit. You keep your eyes open, your spiritual eyes open, and you do right. Now in this parable that he has given us, he tells us about a successful servant. He is the one who had five talents. And he increased those, and he ended up with 10 talents. He done well with them. Let me tell you about a law of the scriptures. There's a law of the scriptures over in Luke, the 12th chapter, 48th verse. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but listen to what it says. It's a law that is true, and you better get a hold of it. For unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. Now, we better get a hold of that. We better understand. I want to tell you something. When God gives you a lot, you better understand, you better know he's going to require a lot. Amen? That's for you, that's for me, that's for every single one of us. You see, that's a law of the scriptures. Understand that. He said if you've been given a lot, you're going to be required a lot. Amen? And let me tell you what's happening a lot of times. Certainly not always, it didn't with this servant. But a lot of times we find that many talented servants are so caught up with their own talents and their own vanity that they think they're just better than everybody else because they have greater abilities. God has given them greater talents. Now let me say something to you folks. That's God that done the giving of the talents, not you. If you have five talents, it's because God gave them to you. Amen. So don't get on a high horse. Amen. You see, they have trouble with admiring their own abilities. That's what happens. In fact, they kind of sometimes, if you don't be careful, they look down on someone who only has one. Now you got to remember something. God's the one that distributed. Boy, you remember that. That's important. We remember that. If God give you a lot of talents, folks, you better look out because you're required of those talents. If you have the abilities, you better know what God's going to require you of them. Amen? So don't look down your nose at somebody who don't have a lot of talents. And also, the person who thinks he don't have a lot of talents, you better look around. You may have a lot more than you think you have, and many times that you're unwilling to use. You know, we got to be careful about, I can't do this. I can't do that. What do you mean you can't? Who told you you couldn't? Or is it you just don't want to? You just don't want to. I know there's some things that you can't do. There's some things I can't do. I understand all those things. But folks, don't just be so easily pass those things off. To put it off and say, I can't do it. You know why? Because you don't want to do it. Amen. You want somebody else to do it. Now, this servant in verse 21 did not do this. This servant took those five talents and he used them and increased them, and he had 10 talents. He did rightly with his. Amen. And then you have next, which I call the common servant. Abraham Lincoln said one time, he said, you know, he said, God must have loved common folk because he sure didn't make a lot of them. And you know, most of us, in all seriousness, are just common servants. If we're even common, some of us maybe are only one talent. I don't know what we are, but I'm just simply saying. But this is what I call the common. And so God gave him two talents. And he done the very same thing with his that the one with five talents did. He took them out and increased them. Now, I'm going to tell you, God got all over him for that. He said, you ought to have made a lot more. Did he? No, he didn't. He said, you know what, thy good and faithful servant, I give you two. You ended up with four. You just done a great job. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, God's not interested in the amount that you're producing, but he's interested in what you have to use it. See, that's so important. You see, and a lot of the work that could be done, even here at Blessed Old Baptist Church, is not being done because we don't want to take that which God give us and use it. Now, we've got to be careful about this thing. I want to challenge you the coming year. I want you to take what God has given you, and I want you to increase it. Just use it for the glory of God, and don't sit around saying, I don't have this, I don't have that. Look to what you do have and the ability that God has given. Now, listen to me. It's important. This was the Lord's servants to do his work. Oh, I'm using all the talents I have. Well, what for? The world's business? That's not what he's talking about. You using it for the world's business? I mean, is that what you're using all your talents for? The world's business? You're missing the boat. You're just missing the boat. Oh, I didn't say that you can't use those talents God's given you in the world. People have to make a living. But that should not be number one priority. The Lord's work should be number one priority. If you have a talent and that's what you're using to make a living with, or you're providing for your family with, that's good. That's fine. That's all right. But don't use that just for the world's glory. You use it for God's glory. He didn't give it to you. He didn't give you any talent to just be used so you can make a living. Gave it that you glorify and honor God with it. Now I just want to encourage you, please, please, please. You know, you and I need to take that which God has given us, and we need to use it for God's glory. Folks, the time is getting short. No, you probably don't even want to agree with that. Many of you just sit there and think, oh, we'll be here 100 years from now. You don't understand. You're not getting it. We've got to get it done in 2004. And if 2005 comes, okay, then we'll go into 2005. But we don't know if we're going to get into 2005 or not. We got to get the job done now, and we've got to use the talents that God gave us for his glory. Not for the world's glory. Don't go down and build Pharaoh's cities. That's what the Israelites was doing. They got so busy down there building the cities for Pharaoh, they didn't have time to build God's kingdom. Now, you can get so busy with the world's business and building its kingdom that you won't do anything for God whatsoever. That's baloney. And God's going to reckon with you one of these days. He's going to reckon with me. He's going to reckon with you. I won't guarantee. He's going to hold us accountable. God gave you talents. God gave you abilities to be used for His glory. Am I right? Amen. And then, of course, we find also, I call the last one the stingy servant. You can call him anything you want, but I call him the stingy servant. He had so little, he thought that he refused to use it. So he went and hid it in the ground. I just want to talk to you a little bit about that. God gave you anything, you're supposed to use it for His glory. You know, it's interesting, you know, you talk about these things, it's interesting. A lot of folk just don't want to hear this. No, they really don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to be stirred out of their laziness. They don't want to be stirred out of their way they're living. You understand me? You know what he done? He took it and hid it. Let me just give you a principle. You know, I've heard this all my life. I've even heard Christians say this to me. Well, you know, so-and-so over there, she's a widow lady, or he's a widower, you know. He just don't have much money, you know. Listen to me. Just listen to me a moment. God knows how much the widow has. And God knows it's tough sometimes. But a widow has just as much responsibility to tithe as a man that has $1 million. In fact, you better tithe. Why do you think, because you have so little, that you don't follow the rest of the principles of the Word of God? Don't you think God is going to bless that principle? Don't you think God knows all about you being a widow lady or a widower or whoever it is, whoever, maybe a family member that don't have hardly much? Say, well, I just can't tithe. Yes, you can. You better. So that's what this man basically did. He went and hid it into the ground. Well, I didn't have much, so I want you to get the full amount. No, he didn't get the full amount. God expects it to be increased. Now, I'm just saying that to you. It's a principle that you need to listen to. This preacher's not preaching heresy. I'm preaching truth. Now, God knows about your need. Trust God. Believe in God. God has a way of providing for folk, whether it's a widow lady, whether it's a widower, whether it's someone else. God has a way that we don't even know about. I, my own self, folks, I many times have been touched in my heart to go give something to somebody. Where did that come from? That comes from God. And because I went, and what I usually find is, oh, Pastor, oh my, I needed this so bad, and thank you for it. I've always said, I've preached this before, and I won't belabor it, but, you know, Zacchaeus, he went up that tree to see Jesus, came down out of that tree, and he said, I'm going to give to the poor. You remember that? And then I look over at the story of the widow who went in. Was it two or three mites? Was it two mites? Was it two mites? Two mites she put in. She gave all she had. I can almost see Zacchaeus sitting on her doorstep the next morning. Oh, God told me to give to the poor. That's the way God does it. No, that's the way God does it. See, but she went ahead and gave. Okay, but that's not just for some widow lady. That's for all of us. You're fooling yourself when you won't tithe and give offerings. You take a person, you take a dear lady or man or whoever he is, makes, I'm just going to say, probably some people may not make that, but $100 a week. You know what? $10 a week ought to go to God's house. No, it ought to go. And all she has left is $90. That's not much. But you take a man who makes $1,000 a week. He gives $100. He's given his tithe. He still has $900. Who should be the one that is giving more and offering more? That dear widow lady or that man who still has $900 left? Boy, you better tie it down. You think God doesn't take notice of that? He took notice of that dear lady that went right over there, and Jesus was sitting there. Called his disciples, said, look, 2 pence. Look at that. Took notice of it. Our churches today, if someone put in 3 or 4 pennies or whatever it might be, or a quarter, we wouldn't think much about it. God takes note. God knows. Amen? Well, sure he does. What we need to do is get back to taking that which God has given us and using it for his glory and get off of this self-serving thing. Now, it may be in only a little talent. Brother Bud was talking about the music earlier. And I don't know whether you got an alto voice, a bass voice, a tenor voice. What else is there, Bud? Soprano. I don't know which one of them you got, but you know that little voice of yours could probably help our choir. Well, I can't sing. Can you imagine what your singing would do mixed in with the rest of them? You know, that's like giving the 2 or 3 pence or a quarter or maybe in the lot in an offering, but it all adds up. That's the way God supports his church. That's the way God does it. Understand? See, talents, little talents, you say, well, don't matter much. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Don't you take it and hide it in the world. No, you ought not to sit there and not sing. You ought not sit there and not give. You ought not sit there and not give your talents unto the Lord and let God use them. And what I'm going to do, we've kind of laid some principles here, and I just want to go down through some things at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I'm going to start with the pastor. I've decided again this year I wanted to just rededicate myself anew and afresh to the work of the pastorate. I don't think you ever, ever get to the place where you can't better yourself and be a better pastor, be a better servant of God. I don't think that's ever possible. And what I want to do is I want to go down through some of these things, and I want you to listen to your preacher. I started with me because I believe that's where it ought to start. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better preacher. Not for your sake, but for God's sake. You'll benefit by it, but for God's sake. I just want to be what God wants me to be. And I want him to be able to use what I call the little talent that God has given me. I want him to use it. And I want to give it to him. I want Jerry to be a better assistant pastor. I want him to be a better one. I want him to be a better assistant pastor than he was last year. I want him to overlook it and rededicate himself to the Lord to be what God would want him to be. I want our deacons to decide I'm going to be a better deacon. I'm going to give my life to the Lord and search out the areas that I'm not deaconing in that I ought to be deaconing in. You know, a person that's been deacon for 15, 20 years ought to know what a deacon's supposed to do. Pastor's been pastor and ought to know what a pastor's supposed to do. And ought to do it. Now, I believe we ought to just step up and say we want this to be the greatest year that we've ever had. We want to see God work and do things that he's never been able to do before. I want Sunday school teachers and Sunday school class helpers to step up to the plate and be a better Sunday school teacher than you've ever been. To love your students more than you've ever loved them before. To get alone on your knees before God and pray for them. Bringing them before the throne of grace. And you helpers that are helping them, be a better helper than you've ever been before. Teachers need helpers in their Sunday school classes. They need them, the ones that have them. They're important people. And they need you to be a good helper. Children's church workers, I want you to step up to the plate. I want to have a greater children's church than we've ever had before. This is not talking down what we've had before. This is looking forward to saying we're going to be better. We're going to be better than we was before. I want the master's clubs to step up and say, I'm going to redo my life in such a way as my spiritual life is going to become so important to me that I'm going to lead these children in the ways of the Lord. And I'm going to help them in these master's clubs to become young men and young ladies for the glory of God. I'm going to dedicate myself for that purpose. I think our buses, we've got great bus workers. Bus captains, bus drivers, but we need to step up the plate. We need to look at it and say, what can I do to better my route? What can I do to get more on my route? And how can I reach those that I'm bringing? How can I be a better servant to them and a bus worker for them? How can I do better than I did last year? Amen. I believe that even on Joseph's storehouse. I was thinking about it. We emptied that thing almost out for Angie and Tim. We used a whole lot of it for our Christmas baskets, and we're going to have to step up the plate, and we're going to have to refill it. But we want to be better at meeting the needs of people in this community. When there is really needs, we need to meet their need. We need to be right there. And that fire the other day, you know, and it didn't, I say it didn't turn out to be much. It didn't turn out to where they lost a lot. Am I right on that, Angie? But I want to tell you what Angie said to me. Pastor, and Angie and Tim told me, said, Pastor, said this was on Christmas. Now, you got to remember, this was Christmas Eve, I think is when this happened. She said, we'll be there. We'll do whatever needs to be done. Don't make a difference what day it is or when it is. I want to tell you something, folks. That's got to be. Any place that you're a servant, that's the way it has to be. Amen. The nursery, what a precious place. We got to have some hearts that want to work in the nursery, not just for sake of getting out of the services, but for going in there and working for the glory of God so that the moms and dads can come out here and hear the preaching. Well, if there's any areas in our nursery that needs to be stepped up, let's get it done. Let's get a heart for it. Tape ministry. We have a tape ministry, and it's used by a lot of people. I was thinking about the tapes on the missions. We need to get those on a more regular basis, getting those shipped out of here on a more regular basis. Let's get it right on down the line. Let's get it done. People use our tape ministry. Let's get it done. Let's get the labels on them. Let's get all these things. Let's do everything we need to do and get it right. Get them sent. Klein's so thankful in that little note for the tape ministry. Thank God that those were sent to them. Thank God for that. Well, don't let us forget. Amen. Don't let us forget. Cleaning the church. This is an area that needs to be looked at. This pastor goes through the church from time to time, and I find places that's unclean that hasn't been cleaned. Mm-mm. You're given the great privilege of cleaning this church for the glory of God. If you can't do it, someone else needs to do it. I didn't say all the church was that way. I just say I see it from time to time. It's no good. We got to dedicate ourselves to the cleaning of this church and keeping it right and keeping it proper. Don't you smile, young lady. I'm telling you, you're one of them. You're one of them. We have others in here. I'm not saying you didn't clean the church. I'm saying you better listen up. It's going to be cleaned. Amen? It's going to be cleaned. Now, you may not see it, but I see it. Sometimes go back at back steps, and I'll look there, and I leave things on the steps. Sometimes they're there for 3 weeks. Huh. What do you mean? We're not going to clean the back steps of the church. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. It's a very important ministry. Amen. School teachers, step it up to another level. Let's give it everything we got. We're giving these young people education, and we're going to do the very best we can to turn them out for God. Monitors. We need more monitors in our school. There's people in this church right now who could offer themselves as monitors and will not do it. No, they could. We need monitors. But they could. We need to step up to another level. We need to realize God's going to hold us accountable for those things, those talents that we have. We need the students in our school to step up to the bat and be better students. Oh, I think we got a lot of good students. We need to step up to the bat. You need to be better than you have was before. You need to work harder, do better. And you have before. Amen? Sure. We need to do better on our soul winning. We need to see more souls saved. That's not going to happen, but people not showing up for visitation soul winning. You're not going to get them in the baptistry. And that's another thing. I want to see more baptized this year. Not for numbers. You don't even know how many's baptized. You want to know the truth? I don't even know. I could go back and count. I don't even count. Numbers don't mean that much to me. But I just want more in there. I want more people getting saved. I want more getting baptized. For the glory of God. Amen. Well, you're not going to do that unless you get people out here on visitation, out here, giving their lives to God and doing what's right, getting involved in the soul-winning areas of this church. It ain't going to be done unless we get that done. We need to do more for missions than we did last year. Amen? Need to get more missionaries out there serving God. Amen? We can do that. Yes, we can. We need to see more young people surrender to full-time work. I'm not talking about some foolish surrender that says, oh, pastor wants somebody to surrender, so I'm going to go surrender. I'm talking about where God grips your heart. God gets a hold of you and says, you know what, I'll give myself to the work of God, and God, all you have to do is tell me what to do, and I'll do it. You'll find out if there's some folk around here that would give their hearts to God, God would probably call them into a ministry, but they're holding back. We need to upgrade our youth program. That's Jerry, Brother Jack, we have a great youth program. I really believe that. I think we do. We just need to look it over. Is there things we can do? Can it be better? Can we be better youth workers? Can we do better and get the job done? Nursing home ministries. We've got three right now. Nursing home. I'm thankful for that. But what I'm saying is we ought to get a heart for nursing homes. Folks, I've told many of you before, you know what? You could go and sit down in a nursing home. You don't have to go and preach there. Go and sit down and talk to some of them. Sit down and talk to them about the Lord. Just spend some time that you have in a nursing home and talk to them about the Lord. Take some of your time and do that. We have three choirs here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have the children's choir, the youth choir, and we have the adult choir. We need to step up to the bat. We need to make sure that our songs are the old conservative songs, not none of this contemporary stuff. I mean from the children's choir, the youth choir, and the adult choir. None of that stuff. I don't want it. I'm going to keep this place old-fashioned. And anybody that brings those kind of songs in is going against what the pastor has said. Let me talk to you in behalf of these choir leaders. These choir leaders need you there at practice. How in the world? Did you know all games are won at practice, not in the game? If you don't understand that principle, you might as well forget it. That's where the game is won, in practice. You need to be there for practice. You are a part of that choir. You're to be there. Every time they have a practice, you're to be there. You're to be there when it's time to sing. Unless you've broken a leg or something like that, that would be acceptable. Well, I don't know. You might be able to make it that way. But I'm not kidding about that. I want you to step up to the bat. I want you to do better. You've agreed to sing in this choir or any of those choirs, you're to be there. There ain't no time off for good behavior. Specials. I want you to practice your specials. I want you to love God. I want you to practice your specials. Let it mean something to you. You're going to get to sing a special before the church. Let it mean something to you. Get prepared. Get ready for it. Congregation singing. Piano playing. Oh, we just need to. I think you do a pretty good job on this, but we got to keep it up. We got to keep it up. Now we just got to keep up this congregation singing. We got to get our voices lifted up to God. Not let it slip. Faithful to services. I'll be there at every service. Be there at every service. Don't kind of find a reason that the world has out there for you to be at somewhere else. We don't care what the world does. You're not serving God when you're serving the world. You come to every service. That's what all these young boys and girls, they need to see this. They need to see people being faithful right here in God's house. All the time, every service. Amen. We need to read our Bibles. This is the book Folks, read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Amen. Read them. Need to pray. We need to up our prayer life. This coming year, we need to up our prayer life. We need to spend more time in prayer. Don't you believe in prayer? Don't you believe it's right? Think about how much time you spent in prayer last year. Do you think it needs to be upgraded? Amen. We need to pray. This coming vacation Bible school in June, that's 6 months from now. We need to have a better vacation Bible school than we've ever had before. And I'm not always just talking about numbers. I love numbers, but I'm not just talking about that. Just a better spirit where God has control of it. Amen. Also, we've got a revival meeting in March. I think it's the 17th. Brother Hightower will be here. He's a great evangelist. He's going to come preach to us. I think it's the 17th, but it's in March. You know what we need? We need better revivals this coming year than we've ever had before. We need to where there's spirit-led, God-honoring revivals. Oh, I want to see it packed out, but I want God a hold of it. Told you here, we're going to start a jail ministry from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Brother Ron Allen is... been going to the jail, and we've talked about this, and we want it to be sanctioned by the church. So he's going to start a jail ministry. What we're going to do is we're going to put up a list by Sunday. We're going to put up a list, and each week we want you to sign up to go with Brother Allen on the jail ministry. Now, what I'm saying is you know, two or three could go if they need to go. Four or five, I suppose, could go if they need to. But we want at least somebody going with Brother Allen. And we're going to put up a list. We want you to sign up, you men. Come on now, help us on this. You could go once in a while, and you'd go to him once you sign up that week. You go to him, and he'll set it practically any day you want to set it. Now you can't beat that. He knows people's schedules are wrong. And he'll set it when it's possible. He may have some druthers too, so listen to him. But we're going to start a jail ministry. Get into the jail on a regular basis. Okay. What I'm saying to you is this: be good and faithful servants. Jesus is coming back to reckon with us, all of us. Whether you have one, two, or five, I don't know what you've got, but use it to the glory of God, not for this world's benefit. We're not here to build Pharaoh's kingdom. We're here to build God's kingdom. Amen. Am I right? Amen. So I'm just saying to you, it's a challenge. Tonight when we come to pray at the altar, I pray you'll be up here not only praying the new year in, but rededicating yourself to God. It's what all of us need to do. We need to dedicate our lives to the Lord, afresh and new, from the heart. See, if God can't get to your heart, he's not going to get to you. When God takes the heart, all is taken. That's in the front of my Bible. When God gets a hold of the heart, all is taken. And let me say to you, till he gets a hold of the heart, all is not taken. Amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to go eat. I'll tell you what, some of the ladies need to be dismissed. Go on out. Want some of the ladies who would be helping there, I don't know. And you go on out, and then we're going to dismiss, and... we'll pray for you while you're getting things ready. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, I certainly thank you for that which we've looked at tonight. We have a lot of fine servants. But Lord, we all just need to just step up and do better next year than we've ever done before. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, for us, it's what it's all about. I know we go out in places and we do this and that, and we go out into the world and work and do all those things, and we want to serve God out there. But Father, we need to come here and get this built up so that we can then go out into the world and tell people about Christ. So I pray that you take this simple message tonight and use it to your glory. I trust that it'll help folk to just realize we just need to step on up to a higher level, do more for God than we've ever done before. Now, Father, I certainly do pray for the food that we're going to partake of. Thank you for the ladies going to prepare it and getting them all ready. But I pray, Father, that you'll bless it, bless the fellowship time that we'll have together, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.